1, 2, 3. Get a beat. Yo. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Put your hands in the air like you just don't care. Oh. What? The Haitian crew. His middle name is Drew. Ooh. What you gonna do about that? I go click, click, clack. Done. At her face, and then she turns into a big disgrace. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, praise the Lord.
Good evening. Welcome to worship on Wednesday. As a reminder, we will not have worship on Wednesdays next Wednesday because of Thanksgiving week. So no Wednesday night service next Wednesday. Something else I was going to tell you about, too, but I know it was. Oh, well, if I think of it, I'll tell you later. Okay, we're going to start with What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Stand if you can, and let's sing.
Casey doesn't have a surgery on his foot.
on this man, William. Anybody else? Shalee. For us on Sunday, Jesse and I are leaving for New York for a couple of days, so safe travel. Friday, excuse me. Friday, we're leaving Friday and come back Sunday night. Jennifer. What, pro bills? Good, that's a praise. He paid his hospital bill off today. That's a praise. I know how that feels. I've had those bills before that you take forever and ever, and the day you finally finish paying for it is a hallelujah day. Anyone else? Jerry. Whitney Duke. Oh, right. Okay. Well, somebody tell me the other day from the age of 16 to 25 we're all brain dead. So, we still got a couple of years to get a brain. Anyone else? I want you to shut your eyes, clear your thoughts, picture being at the throne of Jesus, laying all your cares and your burdens before Him, knowing that He will take them and He will love you and He will support you. Just picture yourself giving Him worship because He loves us so much. Just because He is who He is. Lord, we lift up to You the following people in prayer. Liz Patton, Corey Hartman, Morgan's grandmother, Coach Watson, Casey Duncan, the Jackie Cook family, Diane Riggs, Diane's mom, Diane's dad, Miss Russell, Brad Castle, the Hatfield family, Clint Chapman, people at ProBuild Lumber, Wendy Duke, Chase Russell, Slava, Pat Plattenberg, Angela Hilton, safe travel for those who will be traveling this weekend and into Thanksgiving week. We pray that you would be move among us in the Tuesday night community Thanksgiving service. Lord, let us keep in our hearts the true meaning of Thanksgiving, and let us give You the thanks because all things come from You. Lord, we give You these prayer requests, and we pray that Your will be done, whether it is for healing, for comfort, for shelter, for food. We know that Your will is the best. And even though we may not understand it, we have the faith that You know best for us and for all those that we've mentioned. Be with us tonight as we sing and praise, and may everything we do be glorifying to You and pleasing in Your sight. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Okay, the battle belongs to the Lord. Stand if you will. Thank you. You may be seated. Our message tonight comes from Savannah.
If I don't say anything that can be useful for you, at least we'll have the Word of God.
Now,
I ask Melanie, Miss Melanie, to read it so you don't have to struggle with my accent.
All right, this is one of the, I think, the whole, everything, of course, the
several great, but this one is one of the greatest psalms. It's one of my favorite, and I will ask Miss Melanie to read.
Before I read, can I just pray with me? Lord, we gathered here together in your name, going back to you to understand your word. Lord, print on the page, words and thoughts of what we offer, what we read, what we take in, all in the hope that they will draw us closer to you. Psalm 34, Psalm of David. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
Pretty much every verse here in this psalm is very deep and describes the relationship between a believer and God. But I would like just to focus on one. The verse that tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. What I'm thinking to share tonight was coming to my mind listening to all the speakers during Wednesday night and during our Sunday school classes, and I will repeat some thoughts that I expressed earlier. I just would like to share tonight with my personal experience how this psalm was taking place in my life and how I was experiencing God. The problem with the Christianity today, I think, and with many people who look at Christians and asking questions or have lots of doubts if God actually exists or not, the problem, I believe, is that people don't experience God as he tells us, as he challenges us through his word. It's like we come to the gates of beautiful property and we're standing and someone is telling us it's beautiful there, it's blessings, honey and milk. But people are standing this side of the gates and they're afraid to come in. And they keep telling, we have lots of doubts, what's inside, and who's the owner. And many stories you can try to describe and draw pictures to them, but they will never experience and see with their own eyes until they open the gates and come inside. And this is what happens with our faith. People say, we don't see God. But he tells, open your heart. Just open your arms. Give him a tight hug. And then you'll know who God is. The verse says, taste him and see that God is good. How can you interpret this verse? What does it mean, taste God? What's your idea? How can you taste God? Take a bite, sprinkle with sugar. What does it mean, taste God? This is what David is telling us. What do you think? Thank you, to live the word. This is exactly what I'm thinking too. You cannot experience God until you follow the rules he shows you. He tells in his word. You won't see God until you take the path that he offers. And let me just tell you my personal experience when I just became Christian. And I was reading the words, I was attending the church, and given lots of time trying to understand who God was, having lots of doubts. And the very first step that I had opening my heart, just which was tight, and it was an effort for me, but I just sincerely was trying to put my mind aside and just to tell God, whom I didn't know who he was, if he really exists, but I just said one thing. God, I have lots of doubts, and I still don't know if I believe you exist. But if you really exist, let me know that. And then my life started getting crazy because, oh, I had earthquakes and all the foundations I had were shaken. And it was a little bit painful. But I went through and I found God. But I needed that first step to open my heart. Okay, what was next? I probably thought, yes, God exists. But it was the time when God wanted me to taste him, how good it was, how good he was, and he is. So, I was a student. I think this might have been a little bit close to the generation of students. And I know students have similar problems. And there was the time when I had to decide if I am living according to this book or doing my own thing. For instance, some subjects are pretty hard. Well, I was a student of a technical university, and some of the classes were very hard. And unfortunately, my year was a kind of experimental year when the program of information four semesters, they tried to put into three semesters, shrinking all information, and we had to absorb and digest lots of formulas and all this stuff. And plus, I was not the brightest student. So what we did, in order to be able to pass exams, we were cheating. Well, you know, you take a piece of paper and just write formulas and hide it somewhere in the sleeve or in the pocket. And when the professor doesn't see you, you just pull out and do whatever. Well, and at my test, I don't know how if you have the test like this here, but our tests were not that where you guess and yes, no, or whatever. No, it were comprehensive. You fill out a ticket where three questions, and you have to write an essay on the topic, and the fourth one would be to solve the problem. So you have to keep all the formulas in your head, and just, it was pretty stressful. And I was, as a normal student, I was cheating. But there was the time when I said, stop. I'm fed up with that. And this is another thing. If you are close to God, and if his light shining in your heart, you start being disgusted by things. It's just something unnatural. And this is what the Bible tells you. Children of God, they do not sin intentionally. Is that the right word? We make mistakes. But we're trying, if we're children of God, we're trying to live holy life just to bring glory to God. But there was a time when I was saying, okay, I'm trying to get good grades to stay in the university, to continue my study. But there is no way for me to pass the exam if I don't try these formulas for myself, because I just won't remember them. I'm gonna fail the exam tomorrow. So I had to sit down and just pray. I said, God, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know how can I try not to sin and at the same time to please my parents, because I would be very upset if I fail and just being kicked out of the university. But I said, Lord, I'm fed up with my lies. I cannot lie anymore. I know I'm your child, so just I pass it to you. You do whatever you want. If you want me to fail, that's it. It's just, that's it. So I went to bed and had a good night. slept tight as a just innocent baby. And the next morning I went with my roommate, who was pretty well equipped for the exam. And she was a good student. She was a bright student. And all of our bright students, they did the same. So I came and I got all my stuff, my pencil and pen, nothing else you can have. And then professor, and I think that was his assistant, they came and said, you know, guys, we know that the subject is very tough, the exam is very hard, and we know that all of you will be cheating. So, since the exam is comprehensive, and if you don't know the subject, you'll fail it anyway, you can use all your books, all your notes that you had during the semester, you can use everything you need to prepare to answer these questions. So I opened my mouth and said, okay, Lord, I guess you want me to keep my studies here. But this was the first time in my life, and in my friends who were students in this university, this was the first time when it happened, when a professor came and said, I know you're going to be cheating, so pull out your books and just use your books. And I answered my questions, and he was questioning me a lot, and of course, jumping back and forth on the two materials and information of the subject. But having all written and being not overstressed, I passed the exam, so, and it was fine. But what experience I've got? First of all, if I didn't test God his way, I wouldn't see him. Do you agree? If I did the same as we usually did and all my friends did, being materialistic, I would keep doing my things, but I wouldn't see God. I wouldn't see his answer, I wouldn't see his real hand, and that he's real. So you can hear all the stories, you can read the Bible, you can come to church, attend the church, Sundays, Wednesdays, all the holidays. But until you try his ways, until you try his word, to be honest, to honor God, to honor your parents, to try to glorify God in your life, you won't see him. You won't experience him. You will live every day, you'll get old, you'll be a Christian without seeing God, without tasting how good he is, without experiencing him. So just to make a little bit experiment. Do you know what's that? Huh? No, it's not pomegranate. No, it's not mango. No, it's not tomato. Yay! Yes, persimmon. Whoever tried it? Good. Just two people. And Miss Melanie, yeah. Well, this fruit was called in Hellenistic culture as a fruit of God because it has all kind of magic, valuable vitamins, essential vitamins. There are more vitamin C and iron and antioxidants than an apple and everything, and some doctors recommend these those for those who suffer with cancer and blah blah blah. And you can hear all kind of stories about this fruit, but if you never try it, never eat it, it won't do any good to you, right? So I'm just, who's brave? I want to offer you a piece of this persimmon just to try. Good natural remedies and like medicine. Some of them have side effects. I didn't tell you about side effects on this. Well, the bad thing, you shouldn't eat when it's not ripe. Because if you eat, and this is actually how they are sold in the stores, because if they would be selling them ripe, they would be all smooshy. Because it's supposed to be very soft. This one is not very soft, even though. Well, the side effect, if you eat these when they're not ripe, you can develop a very rare medical condition that can be fixed only by medical surgery. Well, but you need to eat a lot of them when they're not ripe. And there is one, if you put on the table the light with the dates, they'll get soft and kind of clear inside. Then it's time when it can be eaten. There is another thing what you can do. You can
freeze them,
and then thong, and this thing that make it like not that green bananas. So this is the only bad thing, I just to warn you if you decide to buy at the store and eat it. So don't eat it when they're hard like this. So my point is, in order to know God and not to have doubts, you need to give yourself to God entirely and test Him, His ways, test His ways. But also, I would like to say that it's not the, how to say, one time event that will last for the whole life. You need to experience God every day because you will have tests from Him. You'll have these narrow paths and narrow gates that you'll have to go through every day. And for those who never tasted God and never experienced how good He is, this is just the word from the Psalm 34, taste Him and see. For those who experience God and know how good He is, there is one more thing. Don't be satisfied. If I passed the test yesterday and I was honest and I didn't try to take the exam cheating, it doesn't mean that I won't do that tomorrow. I might get scared tomorrow. So for those of us who know God, there is one verse that I would like to leave. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless of course you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. This is what Apostle Paul is telling about himself. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. So our job is to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith and test ourselves if we are with God every day, if we are on His way, if we are taking the challenge. So now you know what persimmon tastes like, and so I hope everybody tonight who will leave this sanctuary will try and taste God, how good He is.
Thank you, Savannah. The next song is Undignified, and then the happy song. So say it if you can. Clap and keep the beat because we don't have a drummer, is what Ilya said.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Go in peace. Let your light shine to the world. Remember, no Wednesday night services next week. So we'll see. See you on Sunday.